From the United Nations in New York, the World in Review. This is Don Bob reporting. In the news this week, the General Assembly holds a solemn session to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the end of the Second World War. The General Assembly considers the Secretary General's report on the work of the United Nations. The Administrative Committee on Coordination agrees on the need to establish four interagency groups to focus on objectives coming out of major UN conferences. The Committee on Disarmament and International Security is told that a comprehensive nuclear test ban treaty is imperative. The UN International Drug Control Program says development, peace, and security are threatened by increased crime and violence. The Security Council welcomes progress made by the government of Rwanda in the reconciliation process. Secretary General Boutros-Ghali visits Haiti to commemorate the first anniversary of the return of President Aristide. These are the stories in this week's World in Review. The General Assembly has held a solemn session on the commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the end of the Second World War. General Assembly spokesperson Leona Foreman says a draft declaration was introduced by the Russian Federation.
With request to this year as the World Year of People's Commemoration of the Victims of the Second World War and underscores the establishment of the United Nations with the task to save succeeding generations from the scourge of war as one of the most remarkable results of the end of Second World War. It reaffirms the resolve of the states to adhere strictly to the purposes and principles of the Charter of the United Nations and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
The General Assembly is continuing consideration of the Secretary General's report on the work of the United Nations. In a statement to the Assembly, the representative of Cuba said that developing countries, for whom the Secretary General's agenda for development is a priority, appreciated any contribution aimed at promoting the adoption of a global guideline in this area. However, Ambassador Bruno Rodriguez Barilla pointed out that developing countries had clearly defined the priorities and dimensions of the agenda from its inception.
Esperamos que los ofrecimientos de asistirnos en el logro de este objetivo.
We hope that the offers to assist us in the achievement of this goal and the sincere and voluntary willingness to give a fresh and new approach to international cooperation and to the definition of what is said to be the United Nations contribution to that agenda would be compatible with the priorities and the dimensions attributed to development by the developing countries themselves.
Australia says the United Nations must, as a matter of the most urgent priority, forge a new agenda for development and reshape its relevant institutions to implement that agenda effectively. Deputy Permanent Representative Richard Rowe says the clearest possible thinking should be given to the achievability of objectives of responses to security problems, from peace building to peace maintenance to peace restoration to peace enforcement.
We have consistently argued also that if the United Nations is to be able to meet effectively the security challenges of the post-Cold War world, it must begin to devote more resources to preventive strategies than to reactive strategies. It makes more sense to concentrate on prevention than on after-the-event peace restoration, both for interstate conflict and in the unhappily now far more common case of intrastate conflict.
The Administrative Committee on Coordination, the ACC, which brings together all the heads of UN specialized agencies, funds, and programs, has met to take up the integrated follow-up to major UN conferences, and secondly, an initiative that would bring together the UN's efforts to assist in African development. The administrator of the UN Development Program says there's a major breakthrough in terms of the UN system coming together and committing its full resources behind agreements reached. James Gustav Speth told UN correspondents the meeting agreed on the need to establish four interagency groups which would focus on particular objectives coming out of the major UN conferences.
First, we have agreed to establish a group that would aim at organizing the system for providing basic social services for all, and particularly for the poor. Secondly, we agreed to create a group that would focus on income generation opportunities for the poor and assisting in providing full employment and sustainable livelihood for the poor. Thirdly, we agreed to create a focal group on the broad enabling environment in which countries are struggling to achieve sustainable human development and struggling to address their problems of poverty. We will also be creating a special initiative on the advancement and empowerment of women as soon as the General Assembly has an opportunity to consider platform of action arrived at Beijing.
Mr. Spatz says the outcome of the meeting shows the ability of the UN to move from consciousness raising to putting the issues on the agenda and forging agreement by governments on concrete plans of action, and then to assist in the follow-up to those agreements. It is imperative that a comprehensive nuclear test ban treaty be concluded by 1996, the date to which all the nuclear weapons powers have committed themselves. That's what the chairman of the Disarmament and International Security Committee said in an opening statement to the committee as it began general debate on a wide range of disarmament and international security initiatives, including efforts to conclude a comprehensive nuclear test ban. Ambassador Luxangin Erdenechulun of Mongolia said the non-nuclear weapon states have found it hard to believe that 5 decades of reliance on nuclear weaponry by the nuclear powers could not but slow down the process towards nuclear disarmament.
Needless to say, the observance of moratoria on testing by all nuclear weapon states would give a positive impetus to these negotiations and be most welcomed by the international community. Actions to the contrary, however, will seriously undermine the confidence placed in the nuclear weapon states, which have recently undertaken at the NPT conference a commitment to exercise utmost restraint.
Undersecretary General for Political Affairs, Mark Golding, said the problem of conflict must be addressed in the context of social and economic issues. In addition, he said, more attention should be given to controlling the weapons that are being used in internal conflicts.
The savagery of these conflicts underlines the fact that progress in tackling the problems created by weapons of mass destruction has not been matched by progress in controlling conventional weapons, including light weapons which contribute so perniciously to the destabilization of states and the destruction of the very fabric of their societies. This is why the Secretary General attaches so much importance to what he calls micro-disarmament.
The director of the United States Arms Control and Disarmament Agency says his country is committed to the completion of a comprehensive nuclear test ban by next April. John Holam told the Assembly's Disarmament and International Security Committee that all dangerous weapons must be controlled, including conventional weapons. He called on all nations to join the moratorium on anti-personnel landmines, adding that the results of the Non-Proliferation Treaty, the NPT Review Conference, represented a triumph for all countries.
Another measure endorsed specifically in this year's NPT Conference is a ban on the production of fission material for nuclear explosive devices. Many nations have long sought such a cutoff. It is deeply ironic that some of the countries that have historically been the strongest proponents of the cutoff have noticeably lost enthusiasm for it now that its realization is potentially at hand. A few states may harbor doubts that such an agreement will serve their interests and so wish to preserve their options. But they should ponder carefully whether they really want to leave themselves open to a competition that can last forever and never be won.
The executive director of the UN International Drug Control Program says rising levels of crime and violence threaten the course of development, peace, and security. Giorgio Giacomelli told the Assembly's Social, Humanitarian, and Cultural Committee that crime as an impediment to sustainable development demands a commensurate response by the international community. He says coupled with the ever-expanding scourge of international narcotics trafficking and the use of illegal drugs, those problems constituted a threat to global security.
The global political, economic, and technological developments of the last decade have changed the nature of criminality. Rising levels of crime and violence exact a heavy toll in different parts of the world and threaten the course of development, peace, and security. crime rose on new technological developments and complex organizational forms. It profits from gaps and differences in national legislation and the lack of effective enforcement. Terrorism and other forms of violence claim innocent lives and create a climate of fear and insecurity, jeopardizing not only internal stability, but also the relations between states.
The Security Council has welcomed the progress made by the government of Rwanda in the reconciliation process, including the integration of more than 2,000 troops of the former Rwandan government for Rwandan Patriotic Army. In a presidential statement, the Council called on the government of Rwanda to intensify its contact with all sectors of Rwandan society, except with those directly responsible for the genocide. Council President is Ambassador Ibrahim Jambari of Nigeria.
The Council reiterates its concern at reports about continuing cross-border infiltrations from neighboring countries which have a destabilizing effect within Rwanda. The Council also reiterates its concern at the danger for peace and stability in the Great Lakes region, which will be caused by uncontrolled arms flows. The Council condemns all acts of violence in Rwanda. The Council welcomes the fact that the government of Rwanda has voluntarily and without delay initiated an investigation into the killing of civilians at Kanama and expects that prosecution of those responsible will follow.
Secretary General Boutros-Boutros-Ghali has concluded a visit to the Caribbean island of Haiti. While there, he visited the headquarters of the UN mission in Haiti, UNMI, where he was briefed on the operation by Special Envoy Blatta Brahimi. UN spokesman Joe Sills says the Secretary General also met and held discussions with Haitian President Jean Bertrand Aristide.
Then they talked mainly about the work of UNMI, the forthcoming presidential elections, the role of the UN agencies in Haiti, and the need for continuing economic assistance from the international community. On Sunday, he attended the ceremony at the National Palace commemorating the first anniversary of the return of President Aristide.
The Secretary General also held discussions with United States Vice President Al Gore. The spokesman says they discussed the question of a transitional period after UNMI leaves Haiti, as well as the financial crisis of the United Nations. Croatian President Franjo Tudjman says his army won't attack Serbia's eastern Slavonia while peace talks are in progress in Bosnia. The assurance came amidst rising fears that Croatia is planning an imminent invasion. Earlier in the week, U.S. Secretary of State Warren Christopher warned against military force, saying it would be very costly to Croatia and its desire to join Western institutions. In an interview with UN Radio, President Tudjman's spokeswoman Natasha Rajakovic said Croatia would do nothing to disrupt the peace process in Bosnia.
We are for negotiations. We are for attempts to solve this peacefully. And the deadline we have determined is the end of the current UNCRO mandate in Croatia. In other words, end of November. It is out of the question that we would start the operation before the deadline. We have no intention of jeopardizing present U.S. peace initiative.
There's little change in the military situation in Bosnia. The ceasefire is continuing to hold overall, but fighting is going on in the northwest. That ends this edition of The World in Review. The program was produced by the International Staff of Central News in the Department of Public Information. I'm John Bob.